किसान सो संसार कितलो उरता मन करू त्यार स्नारा फुंक द्यार पोडता हांकां रान आनी दरबारा हांगा कितें करता देखतलो स्नारा सावय दोरी लाम सोडता चार दिसां सो संसार कितलो उरता मन करू त्यार स्नारा फुंक द्यार पोडता
सुजगत दनपार हाँ अनीश तुम संगते आज हाँ तुम गल होस्ट मुनायला शोचारी प्लैनेट 104.6 एफएम आज कितल पाउस पड़ता सा आज मस्त दिवस दोनों पाउस पड़ता सा लारी एक वन थिंग दैट आई कांट मिस आउट हियर इज हाउ एंथूज्ड ऑकलैंडर्स आर व्हेन इट कम्स टू फिटनेस हमी केन्ना पळयता ती हंग धावता असता ती ऑर सायकलार असता ती खंय ना खंय तर वता असता ती बिजनेस नेवर स्टॉप्स फॉर देम दीस टुडे शो इज ऑल अबाउट दॅट इन्स्पायरिंग दॅट इन्स्पायरिंग कल्चर दॅट ड्रायव टू यू नो डू एवरीथिंग एनीथिंग एट ऑल टायम्स आयज शोच्या आम सांगात आसा ती हॅक्टर अँड ही इज गोन इंट्रोड्यूस अस टू आर गेस्ट हू वील गीव अस एन आयडिया ऑफ वॉट एक्झॅक्टली इज द फिटनेस अँड सायकलिंग कल्चर इन न्यूझीलंड
थँक्यू अनीश अँड गुड आफ्टरनून लिसनर्स अ व्हेरी सुसेगाद दनपार टू यू ऑल आय एम ॲब्सोल्युटली डिलायटेड टू बी टॉकिंग टू यू टुडे ऑन अँड कन्वर्सिंग विथ क्रिसी अँड जॅनेट अबाउट the joys of cycling. In fact, just this morning I was cycling with my wife on Kiwi Esplanade, and it's a lovely bike track over there along the coast right up to Embury Park or Embury Farm. It's really lovely, exhilarating. So anyway, but that's not about me today. I'm going to ask Chrissy, could you tell us something about yourself and your cycling, the bug that you have about cycling?
Hello, I'm Chrissy. I'm a grandma. I've got 5 children and 6 grandchildren, and I got into cycling about 15 years ago, and I've had all sorts of different bikes, done different things, and I just love cycling, so that's why I'm here today.
Oh, great. It's lovely to have you over here, Chrissy, to tell us about your cycling adventures in Auckland. And Janet is a professional cycling coach. And Janet, would you like to tell our listeners something about you?
Good afternoon, everyone. I've been actually cycling since I was a small child. My parents put me on one of those four-wheeled walkers, and I used to zoom around because I would bottom shuffle instead of crawl, and I'd get very frustrated with trying to keep up with my sister. So I was introduced to wheels at a very early age, and I absolutely love cycling, anything, whether it's on the road or a shared pathway or... Oh, mountain biking is my passion.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've made it a profession now.
I have, yes. It's been a bit of a journey, but who would have thought a middle-aged woman changing the direction that her life's heading and becoming a cycle coach?
Wow. Okay, so we'll hear more about that, Janet, as the program progresses. But Chrissy, what type of bike do you ride? And have you always been on this bike, or have you changed bikes in the course of your biking, I can't call it career, but biking adventures?
I've had many different bikes. At one time, I think the most bikes I had was about eight. I had a bike for every purpose. I had road bike, track bike, a town bike, tour bike.
Sorry, did you have eight bikes at one time?
I did.
Wow.
In my garage. And then when I did a trip in about 5 years ago, some friends and I, we biked along the Danube Trail, and we ended up, it was about 2,000 k's, we biked all along across Europe, but I needed a bike for that. And because I was going across America first, someone just gave this throwaway comment and they said, get a Brompton folding bike and you can fold it up in a suitcase and take it with you.
Wow.
And so I did some research and read about it, and it does literally fold up into a suitcase. So I ordered it and picked it up in America, and then I biked in Bermuda on my son's cruise ship with him. And then I went across to Europe and biked right across Europe on the Brompton and brought it back to New Zealand with me. And then once I started riding that, I found that I didn't need all the other bikes because it's just so versatile. You pop it in the boot, you pop it anywhere. And I gradually sold all the other bikes. So I've really just got my... I've got two Bromptons, one that I lend to my grandkids to bike with me. And so I usually go on the Brompton now.
Oh, okay. So where did you buy this bike in America?
I bought it in San Francisco. That was my first stop when I went to San Francisco, then across to Boston. So I thought, well, I'd like to bike in San Francisco. So I ordered it and picked it up from a shop there because there's dealers right around the world. Mm-hmm. And I biked across the Golden Gate Bridge with it. That was my first bike trip with it down to Sausalito on it.
So in Europe, how many kilometres roughly did you say?
We did about 2,000, I think. We did like right around Lake Constance, right along the Danube Trail across Europe, Austria, Hungary, Germany, and finished in Budapest. And then I went back to England and bought a fancy suitcase for it and brought it home in the suitcase.
Wow, that's a lovely story.
It's pretty amazing, actually. Yeah.
Janet, have you also had so many different bikes, or how did you choose your bike?
Oh, I do actually have a number of bikes. Currently, I have four in the garage. I have a road bike, a cyclocross bike, a mountain bike, which is a hardtail, and then also my dual suspension mountain bike, which is my gorgeous baby.
So someone of our listeners now, you had eight bikes. Janet, you have four, of course, for your career. How would someone decide what bike is right for them? A typical listener of ours who is not making
a career
of it.
Is there such a thing called a bike faux-pas or something?
The first thing you need to actually think about is where you're going to cycle. So are you going to take up mountain biking, for example, or are you just going to be riding the shared pathways around Auckland? So you look at the options available to you of where to ride and where you think you would like to ride, and then you base your decision on the type of bike from that.
Right.
However, once you get into cycling, that passion will grow, and therefore that first bike that you've picked possibly won't be your only bike that ends up in your garage. There is a formula called N plus one. It is number of bikes plus one. So there's always room for that plus one.
Okay. So for the normal Aucklander who wants to cycle on the cycle paths and all the lovely things that Auckland Transport has built along Auckland, which would be the bike? Is it a road bike, or is it a hybrid, or is it a recreation mountain bike? All these terms which I've started learning now.
You can't, there's not one bike that suits it totally, because it broadens to, are you taking kids with you, or, you know, how fast you want to go. So the hybrid and the mountain bike sort of brands or specialties are probably the best to go with. However, that you can expand. Any bike can ride on the shared pathways around Auckland.
Right. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
That's okay. Great. I mean, in like in about 10 minutes, learned so many things about cycling, like how diverse cycling is out here. That's the best part. We'll have more of this, but right for now, just a few tunes lined up ahead. Here you go.
Kitens kelera wai kuchina, kona chensau kanar durchina, kazar zalea bogorau china. Aum chirun solta fiti fiti fiti, muntat maka bumbui chi bir muti. Sole maka moga juda ta chiti, un kona kut sa fori na miti. A song maka ye ta chitu, gunya mozo koslo antu. A vani sotana, makare pasu, oi tat maka untu. Tonu gotta zalea puri soshe, rostet soltana bistit mata tanse, dole murtat washe washe washe, woto anima kats puita, kitie baba tu kazata, ulum borodista, amur kotasta, ovui mataro puta. Sos moșia ta un bun de festa ce Am cazar za ta verisu No romos o burgo noizu Rorona ca ci tu Cazar za tuts mozo tondri matanimu
I go at the rest of the conversation with Janet and Christine. And we were talking about cycling and not listening to music while cycling.
Yeah, so we were listening to lovely music, Konkani music, just now while doing the cycling program. Do you, Christine or Janet, listen to music while you're cycling?
No, never. That's sort of like a bit of a bugbear of mine. If you're biking along on a bike and a big truck happens to come up behind you, well, you won't hear them if you've got earphones in your ear.
Yeah. Maybe not have phones or earphones, but let's say if you just want to listen to some music while you're biking and you've got your cell phone and your little carrier thing where you can, you know, put your cell phone and want to listen to music while you're just driving along the countryside or something.
I guess you could, but I'm always worried that I might get knocked and fall out and break my phone, so I don't do that either.
That's important.
Focus on your cycling. So that's a safety tip for cycling. Never listen to music or anything when you're cycling. Janet, any other safety tips while riding on the road?
Oh, that's a very broad question. You've got to be aware of your surroundings. So listening to music doesn't assist you with being able to hear what's coming past you. It's very important to know if a truck's going to pass you or a bus or maybe even other cyclists, and they could ring a bell to say that they're coming past and coming past quite close. So that is probably the most important thing, to be aware of your surroundings and to have good bike control to be able to cope with what is thrown in front of you.
Yeah. So about the bike, let's say you've chosen the bike, you know, is it very important to have a bike fit out so that it's suited to your height and your reach and things like that?
Most definitely. Most bike shops have that service available to you. So when you go in, you'd have a recommended bike size versus height, and you come within that range. So it's important to have your seat at the right height, otherwise you're going to get sore knees. Or if the reach is too long, you're not going to be able to control your bike as well as if it was correctly fitted for you. So yes, you definitely should buy a bike and get it fitted properly.
And if it is not fitted, could it lead to, over a period of time, problems with back problems or other, you know?
Most definitely.
Issues? Yeah.
Yeah. Lower back, if you're riding quite curved, also through your neck, it can become quite a problem. And then knees.
Yeah.
But yes, funnily enough, on the Brompton bike, it's one size fits all. And so when I picked it up in San Francisco, I was really worried I was going to be doing this big bike trip. And I knew, you know, I knew all about bike fits, and I'd been fitted for all my other bikes. But this is just one bike, one design, and you pick, you know, you can pick a slightly different handlebars or a slightly different seat, and you pick the colour that you want. But other than that, that's it. It's one size fits all.
Yeah. And could you adjust
the... You can adjust the seat. And that's about it. That's all you can do. And, you know, I did all that biking and had no aches or pains. You just get on it and ride it. I think that's why a lot of people fall in love with the bikes, because for some weird reason, they fit everyone.
Also, in that, is the colour important, perhaps?
Oh, definitely. You have to have the right colour. I got what's called a bespoke bike, so you go through a step-by-step and you choose what gearing you want, what seat you want, and most importantly, what colour you want.
So is there a term for, like, bike fanatics, like how we have petrol heads for people crazy about colour? Are you guys called bike heads or something?
There are fanatics.
I think both of us might be fanatics.
Oh, speaking of fanaticism about cycling in New Zealand, I'll say... I mean, out here, of course, like, fitness is massive. People are pretty big on fitness and in general. But speaking about cycling specifically, my knowledge in the past few years has been seeing New Zealand shine in Olympics, be it Olympics or be it the Commonwealth Games. You guys have clinched, like, what, 18 medals all throughout. I mean, that's no small feat. And it's all been about cycling, how massive, like how you mentioned right now, it's... People, there's a lot of awareness about cycling in this country, so much so that now it's also being pursued as a form of professional sport. So would you like to share with us some information on what exactly is the Kiwi cycling culture in this country?
I think cycling has been a form of transport. particularly back when I was a child, quite a few years ago, for me to get to my friend, I would have to hop on my bike to ride to my girlfriend's house. I actually even biked to school. The roads were a lot less busy than what they are now. Mm-hmm. I would ride to play sport. So everything revolved around me commuting from A to B. Then we've had the option of being able to participate in sport, particularly in team sport, but as the years have gone on, we've become more individualised with our sport. So we've got a lot of availability. You can do mountain bike races, road races. You can join a school team now. You can, you know, we've got an amazing hub, Cycling New Zealand, down in Cambridge, which promotes cycling and cycle education. So there's a lot of available information and people who are passionate about the sport now that we can just hook into it, which makes it easier for us to pursue excellence.
But that's still, when we talk about cycling that comes under professional sport, we're still restricted to the races within the velodrome, right? We don't really talk about mountain biking coming and pursued competitively.
Mountain biking is quite high up there. There is a lot of different places where you can ride now mountain biking, and it's just becoming bigger and bigger and bigger with the National Cycleway, which is fantastic. And there are road cycling and track cycling have always been a little bit bigger than mountain biking, but I suspect you'll find now with our amazing team that went to the Commonwealth Games, you know, we came in the men's, we came first, second and fourth. Wow. You know, that's pretty impressive. There's going to be a lot of boys out there and girls who are going, well, pick me, I want to join in on mountain biking as well, which is just fantastic and great role models.
Yeah, the world loves a winner. Mm-hmm. And Chrissy, where do you go cycling in Auckland? Where all do you go?
I go everywhere. I live in Henderson, and so I've actually got an e-bike now, I thought I'd better mention, which has a specific range, which is 40 to 50 kilometres, so that pretty much dictates where I go. I can't really go more than about 50 k's in a day. But there is a specific reason why I got the e-bike, which is my Brompton converted to an e-bike. About 3 years ago, I got really sick, and I didn't bike for about a whole year. I couldn't bike up a hill because my heart was not working. And so I didn't bike for a whole year, and I just missed it so much, and I couldn't figure out what to do, And my friend said, go and get your bike converted. So I went into the shop, and it was, because I liked the Brompton so much, I had it converted into an e-bike. And so I've been just trying to go on it almost every day since I've had it converted, just because it brought back my love of cycling, and I realised how much I'd missed it. Once I was on it. And so I go everywhere and anywhere within, you know, I live in West Auckland, so where we are here at the Unitech, there's all the beautiful new paths, Waterview, Mount Roskill. You can go down to the waterfront, along the waterfront. The cycle paths all around Henderson. And it doesn't need to be hard. I went to visit a friend a couple of weeks ago, and she'd bought a bike and was just learning to bike. She'd never biked before. And she had her bike sitting in the boot. And I said, what's it doing in the boot? And she said, oh, because I drive to the park and I drive around the park and then I come home in the car. Oh, and then I was biking home from visiting her. She was over on Te Atatū Peninsula. And I went along all these little back roads in the peninsula, and they're all empty. They all got no cars in them. And I thought, why is she going to the park? She's got it right on her doorstep. You don't need to go miles away. You just look to see what you've got where you live. Mm. You might have a park down the road, or there might be a cycle path, or, you know, you can hop on a train and go into town, or, you know, there's like the mountain bike park out at Woodhill. you just think of places nearby where you are. You don't need to make it hard for yourself.
Yeah.
You just make do with what you've got.
So you say you come from Henderson to Unitec over here cycling. Is it all on a bicycle path or is it on the road?
It's nearly much all on the paths, except the bit on Tietatu Road. They've got the footpath, the shared footpath on one side, and then they've got this on the road, the other side of the road. But you still need to keep your wits about you on the, even on a shared path, you've just got to be aware where you are, because a lady did knock me off the bike.
Oh, really?
She said, I didn't see you, and I was on the footpath. So you've, that's just like a lesson. You've got to be aware wherever you are. You've just got to look in front, behind, around. Don't put your headphones on.
Quite a lot of footpaths out here. I mean, they're more of a dual nature, right? I mean, you can walk as well as you can cycle on them.
Theoretically, you're not supposed to go on the footpath.
Yep.
But I think that's a bit of a contentious issue at the moment, because school children aren't safe on the roads, and so they do go on the footpath. But you've still got to watch for cars coming down the driveways and things like that. And if there's busy roads, like Great North Road, it's busy, so I'll bike on the footpath. I'd rather be alive than on the road and squashed.
I mean, it's a good thing we're talking about cycleways now, because up until a few days ago, I'd come across quite a few news pieces about small business owners in different sections of Auckland campaigning, protesting against new cycleways being built up in their neighborhoods and stuff. So, I mean, I'd like to know your take on how does it, impact the whole cycling culture around here. Would it?
I think I heard that people were getting upset about cycleways taking away parking and that. But, like, this arose when they're talking about building a cycle path in Kay Road. But like someone pointed out, you're never going to find a car park in Kay Road anyway. And so adding a cycle lane is going to bring a lot more people to the area rather than take business away, because cars are still going there. I think people get afraid over, they worry over nothing really, because cyclists have money to spend. They love going and having a coffee or going shopping and, you can get to a lot of places easier on a bike than you can in a car.
I mean, I've rarely come across a bike owner who would, just park his bicycle for more than 8 to 10 hours, which is just compared, like, there's a good chance that a car owner will park his car for a longer time than a bike owner out here. I mean, people on bikes are just in a hurry to go places.
Especially in town, if you want to go somewhere like downtown, some friends and I, we biked in on anniversary day, I think it was. They had a big, all the boats on the harbour and all of that. Well, there was no parking anywhere in town on that day, but we just zoomed in on our bikes and wandered around with the bikes and had a look at everything, parked them for a while, ate some food and then biked home again, so we didn't need to worry about parking.
Janet, I just, the Auckland Transport is doing a lot to promote cycling. And apart from the infrastructure, are there any other things that you know of that the AT is doing for promoting cycling?
Oh, definitely. Auckland Transport actually run a whole lot of free services available to cyclists, from learning how to change a flat tyre, basic maintenance on your bike, how to learn to ride, through to guided rides around Auckland and around the infrastructure that they have built. You can find all of this on Auckland Transport's website. As well as that, they have these amazing rides that they have set a route, and you can actually follow that route by either going online and downloading the map, or you can get the brochure on that. So it's really good.
Yeah, and I was told also that they are running courses for children and school programs, and they build cycle paths around schools where where children can, practice their cycling and things like that.
Definitely. There's quite a few initiatives within cycling and schools, and grade one and grade two is promoted within the schools, and Auckland Transport help with that. They have a bike ambassador program that I'm involved in, and on top of that, they go in and just promote how to get to school instead of being dropped off by a car. You know, how about you walk or scooter or cycle to school? So they're heavily involved in that aspect of transport as well as cycle skills.
Yeah. I also, Simon Vincent, he's become a friend of mine now, and he looks after for Auckland Transport Cycling in West Auckland, and he told me all these things which you just said, and he also said that AT has a community fund that groups can use to promote and encourage riding. So listeners, if you're thinking of setting up a group to promote riding among the community, just get onto the Opsin AT website, and it has a dedicated walking and cycling section with a lot of information on all the things which Janet spoke about. So, Anisha, on that, can we have a little break and some peppy music?
Most definitely.
So, we're just talking about cycling.
Katrina,
Nana Yunchina,
Ye Katrina,
Nana Yunchina,
Tuka Baikalatan, Maim Worta, Maimatan, Tuka Bandra Worta, Bandra Chataran, and Tuka loving Shikaita.
Tell Yunchina,
Kitaka Bai Katrina,
Tell Yunchina,
Kitaka Bai Katrina,
but they were taking Wundishi, Puri, Wundishi, Baikalani, America, Sanata.
Jo matale, kitla turun bengin durun mogu kartale.
Utra tuji aikun bai mak amal zale. Katrin bai tuve maka Katrin tugale. Ye Katrina,
Nana Yunchina.
Ye Katrina,
Nana Yunchina.
Bai kalatan maim orta maim tantu ka bandra orta bandra chetaran tantu ka loving shikaita.
Bees
hazar do to ani gurt di maka Nantar bae dismiss ke le tu maka naka
Parasurun tere lagli prize li maka Aumara un puru zali kaza sa maka
Bees hazar do to ani gurt di maka Nantar bae dismiss ke le tu maka naka Yee Katrina
Nana Yunchina
Yee Katrina Kalatan maim orta maim tantuka bandra orta bandra chataranant tuka loving shikaita.
Chal chal yunchina.
Kitak bai Katrina.
Chal chal yunchina.
Kitak bai Katrina.
Batte wade ke undishi belpuri barundishi paikalani America sangata.
Thank you.
वसायचा हाय मी रॉनी आयलो आज तुमचे गावान गाजवाला उमराचा पाणी भले एक परी माझे मनान तिला बघून काय सांगू तुम्हाला सोन लागले तिचे रूपान अरे भावांदो नको फोन करू गपचुप सांगा तिचे कानान वसायचा हाय मी रॉनी आयलो आज तुमचे गावान गाजवाला उमराचा पाणी भले एक परी माझे मनान माझ्या गावास्ते कौरे दणक्याने वराडाचे मांडवान बघून तिला ये रामी झालो काय नाचते बघा ती ठेक्यान आणि त्या बाजाचे ठेक्यावर काय तिची पैज न हालतान आईस वाटते का चांदणी आज देवले तिचे पाया वसायचा हाय मी रॉनी आयलो आज तुमचे गावान गाजवाला उमराचा पाणी भले एक परी माझे मनान.
Good afternoon, everyone. You have been listening to Susega Dunpar on 104.6 Planet FM. And you've been listening to a conversation on the joys of cycling with Janet and Chrissy. So, Janet, you are a professional cycle coach. That's what your website and all says. So, do you train our Olympic cyclists or the World Cup and things like that? Or...
No, I'm not of that caliber. What I focus on is grassroots cycling. It's getting people out on bikes and loving it. It's something that I've been very passionate about for a number of years. I just go and take it for granted. I just hop on a bike and go riding, whereas some other people need encouragement to actually start that cycling journey. So that's what I'm all about.
Okay, so it's basic, normal people like Anish and me and others whom you train to cycle, and is it school children also? And
I have quite a broad range of clients, so they would go from young people through to my oldest client is actually 70.
Wow.
And I take her mountain biking on grade 3 mountain bike trails, and she is just amazing. I want to be her when I'm 70. Yeah.
So for a person, for an adult who has not cycled before, how long would you need with that person to train her to ride a bike?
It does depend on that person's balance, and if they've done some form of sport in the past. I have discovered that those who are fairly well balanced and maybe have sat on an indoor cycle or have run or something or played team sport, they learn cycling a lot more quickly than someone who hasn't acquired that balance within themselves. So, for example, your wife, Lorraine, we managed to get her moving forward and pedaling within 1 hour.
Wow.
But then I've got another lady who I've actually not been able to get riding just yet, and I've seen her a couple of times. So it will depend on that person. Whether Lorraine is safe to ride in places, you know, that's the next steps, is actually to teach cycle skills and how to ride correctly.
Yeah. Just to tell you, this morning we both of us went on the cycle trail from Onehunga, but it was a dedicated bicycle path from right from the under the bridge up to Ambury Park, and it was beautiful over there, and she managed well. So obviously,
excellent.
You've done a great job.
So most of your clients, are they usually interested in mountain biking, or like, do some of them have absolutely no idea of even how to pedal a road bike or something?
I have sort of two sets of clients. I have the ones who want to learn to ride and are unconfident in riding or how to go about that, through to the ones who would like to learn how to mountain bike and then progress with their mountain biking. So I go and help them learn how to do it. And some of them feel quite self-conscious rocking up to a mountain bike park. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, you've got all these amazing riders who have all the kit, look really good, you know, look really fit, and they've rocked on up, and it's like, okay, where do I go from here? So I walk them through that process.
Okay.
Oh, that's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah. So now I've just recently bought a very, what is called a recreational mountain bike.
Yeah.
It's a Giant Talon 2. Is that a bike which I could go mountain biking? I bought it specifically to ride around Auckland.
No,
is it okay?
Yeah, you most definitely can. Mountain biking has different grades for its trails. So you've got, say, for example, if you went to Woodhill Bike Park.
Where is this?
So that's out west.
Okay.
It's called Woodhill Bike Park. And it's a dedicated bike park available for people. So you pay money to go into the park. And they have some very cool trails from beginner through to advanced.
Right. Okay, so beginners would be basically quite flat, not down, not too downhill, and not too many obstacles.
Definitely. So the beginner trails are generally wider and have less trail features on them. So, for example, less roots or trees that are in the way or drops.
Okay.
Whereas the advanced trails will be further out and often narrower, with drops or big corners, and a lot harder to either get up or down.
Okay, so once you get into that, do you pay a fee to enter, and then you can stay there for some time?
Yeah, you can stay there all day. So that's only one of the places in Auckland that you can actually mountain bike. We've actually got a number of places around.
So Janet, in case some of our listeners would be interested listening to this program to get in touch with you and would like to have some cycling lessons, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. You've got several different options. You can go online and Google Cycle Coach Janet Stark. I actually do have a small website, and it's cyclecoach.co.nz, or you can go on Facebook and just put in Cycle Coach Janet Stark, and that will come up with my details.
Right.
That's Cycle Coach Janet Stark on Facebook.
Correct.
Awesome.
Oh, great. And do you also, let's see, I don't know, talking about cycling and all the joys of cycling, if we want to organize a group, kind of a, what is called a bunch group cycling adventure or something like that, do you also, is that part of your forte, where you undertake such biking tours or not, or groups out for cycling?
Most definitely, Hector. So I do a range of different things. I host cycling retreats, and we go to different locations around New Zealand. I also do group rides, mountain bike and urban within Auckland. Auckland has some amazing places that you can ride, as we've already heard. So, yeah, I can do both of those.
Okay, cool. So, and how many people would you require, like, to get, in order to make it viable to go on such a trip? Or is there a certain minimum number, or you have a group and we can join it or something like that?
I sort of have a magic number. I don't like to take any more than 6 people with me when I do a group. And like, for example, I'm actually doing a guided ride tomorrow, which I've got clients coming along, and we're going to be riding some of the shared pathways around Auckland. So I go ahead generally, even if there's one person turning up. I like to spread the love of cycling, so it might not be viable for me to, you know, turn up, but I do it anyway because that person then might come to something else.
Yeah.
So I don't want to, you know, say, hey, sorry, not enough people are coming. I want people to get on bikes.
Right.
So share the love. Yeah.
You've got like, you said you've got 4 different bikes. Christina's got about 8.
I did have. I've sold most of them now.
Yeah.
So when you guys are, you know, going for bikes, or let's say you got to purchase a new one or you got to gift somebody a new one, depending upon what terrain are they actually accessing, whether it's a road or a mountain bike, or I'm sure there's something called a cyclocross bike, something as well.
Yes, there is. I've actually got a cyclocross bike.
Awesome. So what brands do you usually go for while... how does it, from start to finish, how do you actually go about, you know, selecting a particular bike? What do you look for in a bike?
Number one, I look at where I'm going to use that bike.
Mm-hmm.
Number two would be the specs of the bike, whether it actually fits me. And I quite like really good bikes. So I look at that. I then also look at the fit of the bike as well. Does that bike actually fit me properly? And will I be able to take it where I want to take it? So they would sort of be my 3 things. But then the biggest selling part for me is the bike has to look pretty. I get my husband, if he wants to buy me a gift, don't go to a jewelry shop. Take me to a bike shop, and I love shiny things. So shiny things comes in the form of bike gear
as well, yeah.
So all my bikes are pretty.
Janet, on that point, I've got this bike and it's just come out like it's from the shop. What are the things I can add on or should add on over a course of time which would be useful to have on my bicycle?
Oh, Hector, that is a very open question. Number one, a bell.
Okay.
If you're going to be using it in shared pathways, a bell. Number two, lights.
Yep.
So you need a white front light and a red rear light.
AT has given me 2 lights, those flickering lights. Are they okay? Or the small ones? Or do I need a more powerful one?
They're a good start.
Okay.
But I would actually invest in better ones. At some stage.
Even if I'm not going to be driving at night, is it necessary to put on the lights on during the day?
I really do like a back flashing light.
Okay.
It's very visible to other users of the pathway. If you have a front flashing light or a front light on, it's going to annoy the person probably coming towards you during the day. But now that it's becoming winter, you might get yourself caught out. So, I mean, even by 4 o'clock, you know, it's starting to get, you know, a little bit less visible for everybody. I would highly recommend putting on a light. You're actually required to have a light on your bike, and it's an hour before sunset.
Are they like dynamo bar lights or
no?
You can get those, but now we just have battery. And ones that plug into a USB port to charge them, and they're very reasonable.
That sounds good.
A bell and some lights.
Yep, and then you need to have a pump.
Yep.
A small multi-tool, and tire levers, and a tube that fits your tire. So if you get a flat tire, you need to be able to change it.
And the nice thing about bicycles is that you can you can maintain them yourselves and do a little repairs on it. Is that right? Or
do you can. There's something called an M-check, which is a way that you can actually check your bike and methodically, and you should be doing that before you go riding every day or every time you use your bike. But I do highly recommend that you get your bike checked out by a professional bike mechanic on a regular basis. So, for example, if you use your bike and you're riding, you know, hundreds of kilometres, you should be doing that probably about every 6 months or even sooner, depending on how often you're using your bike. Mm-hmm. But definitely every year, you should be, just like your car, you have an annual check with a bike mechanic.
Okay, nice. That's good.
Right.
Good advice. And Anish,
that's good,
you have some songs for us?
On that note, we'll be diving into something peppy.
Piti kali se zata Nirle nir polo na puntu zo zugras makayeta Dor vingi maka to dota Chitun mutun moje kis to geta Piti 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 mokyam so kali sa kusha
Sushaga Danpar, you're listening to Anish, and we've got Hector Uncle asking questions.
Good afternoon, listeners, and welcome back to Sushaga Danpar. And we've been having a really lovely conversation on the joys of cycling with Chrissy and Janet. So, Chrissy, tell me, what is the special joy you get out of cycling? Why do you cycle? What do you get out of it?
I think I started getting into it just because of the places you can go when you're on a bike. and it just grows. Like, I've done Coast to Coast and I've done Ironman, but I've been other places. I've been, like, Bridge to Nowhere. I've been up in mountains. I've been to National Park. I've been across Europe. And trips across Europe can be really expensive, but I just did it on my bike and a tent, and it was ridiculously cheap. People think it's expensive, but you can do a lot with a bike for a little money. And even if it's just biking to town, you always say hello to people and you wave to people and you just look at the scenery and you have the wind in your face and you can zoom along and just sort of
accelerating.
Yes. And I think even if you're just going down the road, I just hop on my bike because it's better than driving and you don't need to worry about parking. It's just like being out there in the breeze. I know,
and you kind of savor the moment.
Definitely.
And the view keeps on changing every little while. And even if you're doing it at different parts of the day, the view is different.
Yes, I'm always looking for a different way to go. I've got a friend in New Lynn, and from Henderson, I always try and find out a different path that's not as busy. Like, there's one that was always school kids, so I found another road. And I just go out and explore and try and find back roads. And is there a park that I can go through here, or just all over West Auckland?
There's much more. There's a higher level of intimacy compared to, you know, when you're in a car or something.
Definitely. I actually sold my car, and I've just got a camper van now, so I kind of have to go out on my bike. It's a hassle taking the camper van out, so I go on my bike a lot more.
Good. And you, Janet, what do you get out of biking?
Mine's a very similar story to Chrissy's. I do it because it keeps me sane and it speaks to my soul. Riding along and just having that beautiful nature around us is just incredible. We live in an amazing place here in New Zealand. And the other thing that it does to me as well is it introduces you to people that you might not have met. Because you've all got a common interest, and that common interest is cycling. I have some fantastic friends. They're called my bike besties, and we ride together most weeks. And we just laugh. We crash sometimes. We go to a coffee. You know, they just keep me grounded, and I love it so much. It's good exercise. It helps me to keep fit and healthy. The list just goes on.
I don't know. Just listening to you, I get the feeling that both of you all are enjoying the journey and living in the moment.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, how else can we, experience what we can experience? Like recently, well, not recently, but about a year and a half ago, my husband and I actually went to Samoa and we did a cycle touring trip there. And we're riding through the village, and the little kids are going, "Hey, bike, hey, bike." And then you've got the tourists going through with their air conditioning on in their cars, and, you know, their car windows are up. They're not experiencing the same thing we're experiencing. Yeah. And it really struck home when I was on that trip, thinking, wow, this is so much better than actually driving in a car.
That sounds so amazing. I mean, it's a bummer that we got to end the show at this point of time, but this could just go on and on for a really long time.
Most definitely, all day.
Thank you so much, you guys, for coming on our show today, giving us so much knowledge. I mean, I had no idea it was so diverse. Do listen to Susegaad Dunpar next weekend. Nami Hanga Chastali, Planet 104.6 FM. I'm Gaika. Catch us on Facebook on Susegaad Dunpar. And I'm email karati GOODGUIZE@gmail.com. Tawal Thai, have a good weekend and keep cycling.
Agar zavun kita betai davun, tuja mokan poi voita hamba vun.
Omokan.
zaita baye kar
bag jamme